Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always on today, October 12th. We got the Chiefs and Broncos coming up. Not excited about that. Followed by the Bills and Giants on Sunday Night Football. We need to talk to whoever's setting the primetime games for the NFL and have a talking with them about, you know, what people actually don't want to watch. And it's definitely not the Jets, you know?
Yeah, because, like, they got teams that people want to watch, you know? It's not like baseball where you're having the Braves and the Dodgers and the best teams losing the first round.
Like, why was Dolphins-Bills not a primetime game?
Yeah, that's crazy.
We are in the midst of the baseball playoffs. Yesterday was my favorite day of the year, the Dodgers losing. So that was awesome. So we'll talk that. We're getting ready to watch the Phillies-Braves slash... Honestly, I would probably rather watch the Phillies-Braves game than the Chiefs-Broncos.
I think so, yeah.
And that takes a lot, I think.
Yeah. No, that does take a lot. Because you like baseball, but if it's not the Giants, it's not must-watch TV.
No, and I'll watch, like, any football, but the Broncos are... I guess not any football, because it's hard to get behind a Broncos game.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's brutal. What else were we going to talk about? College football, obviously. You got picks of the week.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really have to discuss this. Did we mention that Kelvin Kiptum broke the world record on this yet?
Tell people who that is, because I forgot he existed until you just reminded me.
Yeah, so Kelvin Kiptum, 23-year-old from Kenya, just broke Eliud Kipchoge's world record in the marathon, running 2 hours and 35 seconds. For context, that is a 4:36 mile every mile.
It's impossible to contextualize that, truly.
Yeah, it's like, you know how people say, like, a scientist will be like, the human brain doesn't understand how big the sun is? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It really is just like that.
So we were talking about that. I think I was running 300 yesterday. I think I could run a, like, between a minute and minute 5:400.
Sure, yeah.
So that being said, still, like, going to a minute 30, that's quite slower. But for 4 miles, for 4 laps, it's still quite a bit. Do you think if I can do a 105, 400, I could do a 6-minute mile?
1 6-minute mile. I think you could do that. I think you could do that.
I kind of want to time myself.
Interesting.
Like, limber up and...
Yeah, we could give it a go.
Yeah. I also would want to get a pace of, like, you know, what do I have to do to get this, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, practice it a couple times before.
Yeah, so 4 minute 30, like, that is faster, that is so fast, oh my gosh, for 26 miles.
Yeah, so, so he is, and if you are a regular listener to the Double Take with Matt and Jake podcast, you will know that we predicted he wins the gold medal in the Olympic marathon.
We's pushing it.
Yeah, several about 8 months ago, I think I made that claim, which is looking pretty good now. So, you know, you got to hope for health and some other things, but yeah, it's hard to see anybody beating him now.
I'm 100% sure that no non running specific podcast talks about running as much as we do.
Right. Well, I appreciate you indulging me as much as you do.
I mean, it's our show, yeah. Technically, you know. That's true. But there's no way, like, a regular podcast that's not, like, dedicated to, like, marathons, like, brings us up.
Yeah, no, the low post is not giving you this.
No. I'll tell you that. We're going to start baseball playoffs, then get into football. But I think we got to talk about the David Beckham documentary. I'm on episode 3, so I'm not all the way through. You got to watch it. It is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
He looks exactly like Chris Ralstead, like our friend from high school.
Yes. he does. And weirdly, like, I don't know how to describe it, but his face has kind of settled more into looking like Chris Ralstead than when he was younger.
Yeah, cuz he's not, like, he hasn't gained weight, but maybe it's just because he's more tan or a little more rugged than like, he looked like a teenager, like, for a long time.
Yeah.
Until he shaved his head, I think.
Right.
But, like, the long hair and the clean-shaven face. I didn't realize that. So the Argentina game in 1998 in the World Cup where Michael Owen scored the craziest, that goal. And speaking of that, Michael Owen's my favorite player. David Beckham's my second favorite player. What a game that was. I didn't realize that David Beckham got a red card in that game, and that's not what cost England, but it didn't help for sure. And it still went to penalties, though.
Yeah.
But you know who else was involved? The manager for Atletico Madrid was Argentinian guy who fouled David Beckham.
Diego Simeone.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I did not know that. And then
Beckham retaliated. It honestly shouldn't have been a red. But, like, he's the guy involved in that.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
That. Yeah, no, I wouldn't have known that, absolutely.
I assumed he was Spanish, too. I didn't think he was Argentinian. I didn't know about him that much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Simone sounds kind of Italian, which in a weird way makes me more think he's Argentinian.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I think, obviously, he's not as good as Messi or Ronaldo. I don't think anyone's been, quote, cooler than David Beckham in soccer in our lifetimes.
Yeah, no, nobody's been as famous, you know, from soccer until we're getting to Messi since winning the World Cup. I would argue before he won the World Cup, I think Beckham at that time was maybe a bigger deal. And I think people now, because of, you know, marrying the Spice Girl, coming to L.A. and all the hair and stuff, I think people forget that he was, you know, one of the top 10 players in the world at the time.
Very good.
Yeah, and people, like, that sounds outlandish, but if you go back to then, it'd be like, yeah, he was, you know, the best free kick taker in the world. He would start on any national or club team at that position, so.
Well, he was kind of the first, like, soccer player to get into, like, brands and marketing and modeling and stuff, because he was this the perfect combination of very handsome and very good. Plus, like, the style of play was, like, it's not like he was a very good center back. He was, like, you know, these set pieces, scoring all these goals. Like, it's a very, like, entertaining brand of soccer to watch.
Yeah.
He looks good with a shaved head, too. Like, I think the haircuts are as fascinating as anything else.
Yeah. No, the only person I can think of that changes hair quite as much as that is Bono, but Bono's never let it get that long.
Yeah. I think it'd be sick to get a David Beckham, like, jersey, like, when it had, like, either the Vodafone ones or, like, the sharp ones, like,
yeah,
from back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Those teams were sick. I associate Manchester United David Beckham with, like, the long hair, Real Madrid with the buzz cut, and I know he had that at Manchester United, but that's, like, the Real Madrid picture.
Yes, yeah.
And then, you know, the Galaxy and PSG and AC Milan, I'm picturing more like kind of what he has now, like the faux hawk looking thing.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. So I'll have to catch up so we can do a weekly segment.
Who do you think, that could be good, top five David Beckham haircuts?
That would be good.
Or top five. Like, I'm trying to think. So let's think of football. And again, this isn't best athlete. I mean, it's like most, like, superstar and, like, like Michael Jordan, obviously, in basketball.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, bigger than the sport.
Right.
I don't think LeBron's like that. Like,
I don't know how much people in Europe care about LeBron.
Yeah. Or football, I don't think there's anyone in football like that.
Yeah, I think football kind of weirdly would have to be more popular for there to be a figure like
that. Yeah, I think Michael Jordan's the only athlete in terms of, like, popularity and, like, outside of the sport recognition and brand and power.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot more people know, like, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, but they're not in commercials the same way as you're talking
They're
about.
Not, like, influential, no.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely bigger than their sport, but not really influencers.
Right, yeah. Man, David Beckham's awesome. Dude, Michael Owen's goal was so cool in that 88 World Cup, assisted by Beckham.
Hey.
By the way, Beckham.
Look at that.
Beckham made a tackle, got the ball back, and then hit it up to Owen, who beat two defenders. He outpaced one, and then the center back, he, like, ran around to the right and then hit it, like, back to the left. He's, like, 18 or 19 years old, I think, at the time.
Uh-huh.
Also played for both Real Madrid and Manchester United.
Hey.
I like to block out that he played for Liverpool.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't associate Michael Owen with Liverpool, even though most people in England probably do.
Yeah. Man. And Newcastle for a little bit?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's where I first found Michael Owen, was at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then he went from there to Manchester United. Man, I could talk about Manchester United. Like, those teams with, like, Rooney and Ronaldo and Patrice Evra and Rio Ferdinand and Giggs were still on that team and Carrick and Scholes was still around. And Gary Neville played forever because him and Paul Scholes played with Beckham and Wayne Rooney.
That is crazy.
I like Gary Neville. I think most people don't.
Yeah, I think that, I think people know him for coaching Miami before Messi got there.
It's Phil. His brother, who also played for Manchester United.
Oh, well, there you go, then.
Yeah, I guess most people in America probably don't know who Gary Neville is, but in England, I don't think he's popular.
Was Gary a coach, too, or?
I don't think so. He works with, like, Sky Sports or something.
Oh,
like
interesting. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that there were two of them.
So, Gary, he's in the documentary a lot, because Gary was the right back, and Beckham played a lot on the right wing.
Yeah.
So, they were, like, very, very close for that reason.
Uh-huh. Look out for them. That's cool. Well, yeah, I'll have to check out the documentary.
Should we talk a little baseball? Go to the complete opposite sport?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is it about, at least in our growing up, but, like, soccer and baseball seem to, like, have the most antithesis of, like, culture and fan bases and, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, I guess.
I don't either, but they're both great sports. So, here's the thing, and this isn't a problem, just kind of what's happened. Like, some people are like, oh, we need to change the playoff format, because the Orioles, I was talking to you about this yesterday, they broke through finally. They're terrible for years, bottom of the AL East, like, embarrassing, awesome young talent, led by Adley Rutschman, make it to the playoffs, 100-win season, best team in the American League, and then they lose to the Rangers in 3 games. Dodgers lost to the Diamondbacks in 3 games, got swept. Not complaining about that. Brewers won their division and got swept also by the Diamondbacks, but wasn't in the first round. Houston's like the only like top team who hasn't got knocked out already. And people are like, oh, like we need to change the playoffs. And I like agree with that, but this, like, it just sucks that it's 162 games. You're clearly the best team in your division. You go through all that, and then in 3 random games, like, your pitcher has a bad, like, Clayton Kershaw didn't make it through an inning in his first game. Like, the Dodgers series was kind of over from there.
Yeah, that surprise. Well, I mean, I don't know. If your best pitcher doesn't make it through one inning, then I don't feel very bad for you.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I just think that, like, yeah, the tournament is never going to be the best way to find who the best team is. If you want to know who the best team is, just take the person who has the best schedule at the end of the regular season. But there's something about, I'm going to show up on this day, and I'm going to play the best that I like. You know, and I don't care if they're not the best team. I just want to see who can show up, and it's like, this is the game that matters most. Who's going to do it?
Well, so far, that's been Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
The last 2 years. He murdered a ball. Hit 2 home runs. One of them he just absolutely clobbered. He's, I would say for baseball, Bryce Harper is like the most relevant outside the sport. But you also have to be a baseball fan, so not really. But he has the most like cultural pull, I think, kind of what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Plus, he's just very good.
He is very good, which helps.
Cover of Sports Illustrated, 16 years old. I think he had a few, not even bad, but like not like stellar years in Washington. I think we kind of forgot about him. We dropped him out of the rankings. He's been an MVP, led the Phillies to the World Series. If they can beat Atlanta, got a good shot to get back to the World Series tonight. They don't like have to win tonight, but it'd really help if they don't have to go back to Atlanta for Game 5.
Yeah, no, it would be great to win today. But yeah, the point about the cover of Sports Illustrated is really interesting, because I guess in a sense, yeah, he's not as good as Mike Trout. He's not as good as Shohei Ohtani. So in that sense, he didn't live up to the expectations of being the best player in Major League Baseball. But I mean, for him to be as good as he is, you know, certainly a top 5 player for the time that he's been in the league, I mean, yeah, I think that's crazy. It shocks me anytime a 16-year-old does that.
It's crazy. So his junior year of what would have been high school, he played junior college ball in Nevada. And then what would have been his senior year of high school, he was in minor league baseball after being the number one overall pick. So his senior year of high school, it's not like he skipped college, he skipped high school basically.
Yeah, that's
to go
nuts.
To the minor league. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the baseball's this guy's entire his whole life. A lot of people, I think we see choke, or there's just like a lot to live up to, that type of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce Harper's done it. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, he's really good athlete. Fun to see him do it in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that stadium looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching the game. Was it the game last night or 2 nights ago? Two nights ago, right?
We were watching two nights ago. Yeah, yesterday was
the Dodgers game.
Oh yes, that's well. No, you texted me yesterday. It was in the afternoon. The Bryce Harper.
I was watching the Phillies game. Me and you were watching the Dodgers game.
Yeah,
you were at work during the Phillies game. Okay,
right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that place looks electric.
It is. Yeah. No, I think. I mean, it's definitely an Eagles town, but I think Phillies are a lot closer to that than people think, and I think that the Phillies are above both the Flyers and the Sixers by a pretty good margin. Is just the vibe I get.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about hockey or the Flyers, but it seems like they just kind of hate the Sixers between Ben Simmons and, like,
yeah,
in the second round.
I mean, wouldn't you? Like, what has been fun? Like, even when they're good, they're not fun.
Yeah, like, the whole process thing. Like, it seems like they have, like, a love-hate and a lot of hate relationship with the Sixers.
Yeah, because, like, you used to have Allen Iverson, and now it's just, like, is James Harden going to play, and is it, like... That just whole mess. Like, that doesn't seem fun.
James Harden's the worst.
Yeah, man. It, I mean, I do think about this, if we can take an NBA aside for a little bit. I think about so many players who just have such great careers, and then the moment they get on their next team, it really goes downhill. You know, like, it happened to Russell Westbrook, who I really, really love. You know, happened to John Wall, who was great for the Wizards all those years. You know, Bradley Beal now, he's going to be the third option on the Sun. So we'll see how that goes. I worry a little bit about Dame. I think Dame is better right now than all those guys were when they moved to that next team. But you just feel like even with superstars, the situation really, really matters. And so... why did I bring this up? Oh, James Harden. Yeah. But yeah, like, he was the one, like, he was just the man on the Rockets, and then as soon as he got to the Nets, it's like, oh, he's not as good as he was, and people in Houston couldn't see it, so they didn't care, you know?
Yeah, with Dame, it's gonna be the first time in his life, probably, he's not the best player on the team.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean...
So that'll help him, obviously, but do you think it's gonna... It takes him getting used to, I think, at least.
Yeah, it'll definitely take him getting... But, I mean, like, he's just 33. Like, this is, you know, when players start to decline.
He's 33?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can double-check, but I'm pretty sure he's 33.
Excuse me. Man, I guess that makes sense. I just picture him as, like, 28 or 20... No, I guess he has, like, a kid who's not that young, right?
Like, yeah,
he's not a baby. I know he's not a teenager.
I don't know anything about that. But yeah, so just, I don't know. It just feels like the grass is not always greener for these players, you know? And so I do hope it works. I don't think that's going to be the case with Dame. I do think, you know, anytime anybody's 33, we start to see a decline. But, you know, a great way to take the pressure off is to have Giannis on the inside and everybody collapsing to guard him. You know, that's going to really help.
Yeah, that's true. Because the best player he's played with until now is CJ McCollum, right? Am I missing anybody?
I think there might have been a power forward at Weber State who was really good, but
was there?
No, that was a joke.
Oh,
yeah, no, easily CJ McCollum.
Because Aldridge, did he overlap with Dame in Portland?
Oh yeah, no, that was true. Aldridge was pretty good at the time. Aldridge, you know, being another example, great in Portland, and then got to San Antonio, and then. Kind of a mediocre player.
You would think San Antonio would be a place that is kind of can override that. Like,
yeah.
Make you not suck your second destination.
Right.
But yeah, Aldridge was good.
But yeah, like these players who get drafted and, you know, you think they're going to be good and then they're just lousy. Like, I think so much of it is the situation and the way they're being used.
Well, yeah, because people are saying, and I don't agree with this, but people are like, if Mac Jones was in San Francisco, he'd be doing the same thing as Brock Purdy. And while that's not true, he'd be doing better than he is in New England.
Absolutely.
You know? or like I think of Justin. We need to say San Francisco for any of these quarterbacks, like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer looked terrible his rookie year, and part of it's going from his first year to his second year. But Doug Peterson comes in, and he looks like the quarterback he's been since high school.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, you could say the same thing about, you know, Nick Foles working with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, you love Nick Foles.
Love Nick Foles. Yeah, I mean, he won a Super Bowl.
Or like Zach Wilson, I'm not as high on him as my other fellow BYU alumni are. But if he's instead of on the Jets, if he's at like, let's say he's in Buffalo with like that offense and that, I don't think he's Josh Allen, but I think he's better, you know. With like,
yeah,
with Diggs, or
definitely better,
or even if he was in Minnesota throwing to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Or like CJ Stroud has, I think, with Bobby Slowick, who used to be in San Francisco, now calling the plays in Houston. I think he's in a much better system and situation than Bryce Young is with, I think, an outdated coach. I don't think Frank Reich's the guy. I've never been like super, super high on him as a coach. I think he's proven that.
Yeah.
Although he was with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia.
That's true.
I think that was more Doug Peterson.
Yeah, hasn't done a whole lot since then. Yeah.
But like, if he's bad in Indianapolis, why is he going to be good in Carolina with no receivers and a bad offensive line? Like, I am surprised Bryce looks kind of lost. Like, there was one throw he made in the Detroit game where he threw it to like, it was like a 15-yard out, something like that, like 10-yard out. And then the flat defender just went out. Like, he didn't even see the corner, like, sitting in the flat, who went and picked it.
Yeah.
He never would have done that at Alabama.
Right.
He might just be trying to force stuff. What are we talking about?
We were talking about the Phillies stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So we went from the Phillies to basketball to football.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we wanted to transition to the NFL anyway. Was there any other baseball takes we wanted to give?
No, just that I'm happy the Dodgers lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to see.
Do you know, are you familiar with Tottenham Day? I think it's called Tottenham Day.
Is it related to Tottenham?
It is related to Tottenham.
Is it the day they get eliminated or like from winning mathematically out of winning the league?
No, it is the day they're mathematically eliminated from finishing higher on the table than Arsenal.
Oh, that's pretty funny. That's hilarious.
Which I don't think they've been able to celebrate for the last couple of years because Tottenham's actually been better than Arsenal up until like the last 3 months of last season.
I mean, Arsenal still won last year. Right now, those are the top two teams in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, we don't need to transition into a fourth sport, but Arsenal. I'm excited about Arsenal for the first time ever. Like, I know Arsenal fans are optimistic all the time, but this is like, oh, it looks like they're actually going to be good.
Do you think they're better than last year?
Because
they were winning the league for most of last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think. Yeah, I mean, there's. Certainly in the same realm as last year.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say yes. Are they better than Man City? Probably not.
I hate Man City.
Yeah.
Have you seen that little kid get interviewed in England? Like the reporter's like, who's your favorite team? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes, I do.
So the reporter has this kid who's like 10. She's like, so who's your favorite team? He's like, Manchester United. And she's like, who's your favorite player? It's like, none of them. They're all rubbish. It's like the most, like, British response.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I would love to meet, or just sit in on the dinner, because you know that his dad and his granddad are saying that, yeah. You know? So, that was hilarious.
Man, I love Manchester United. They need to pick it up, though. Yeah, there are a lot of players I don't like. Marcus Rashford is awesome.
Yeah, Marcus Rashford's really underrated, I think.
Very. He's so good. He's unbelievable. NFL. So we were talking about quarterbacks. We talked about how much the Broncos suck. Did we talk about the Cowboys being frauds?
No, I'd love to talk about that.
You'd be happy about that.
Yeah.
Niners took it to them. They were like from the jump. They were like passionate and ready to go and fired up. And Dallas just didn't seem to be.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to think about them. Yeah, because they should be, like, by far all the games they've played, this should be the one that they're amped up for, ready to go.
The team that's knocked them out of the playoffs the last 2 years.
Right.
Or two out of three. I think it's the last two.
Yeah.
21 and 22.
Oh, actually, you know, now that you say that, that makes sense. Because, like, with another team, if they're playing the team that knocked them out of the playoffs 2 years in a row, they're going to be excited. They're going to be ready to go. But with Dallas, who has less playoff wins than the Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars, like, yeah, they're going to choke against the team that's beat them in the playoffs 2 years in a row.
They just, like, Micah Parsons was talking on his podcast, like, oh, now it's personal. Then Debo Samuel's like, it already was personal. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, it's this is, like, the biggest rivalry in football.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about now it's personal? Like, where were you when you lost the playoffs 2 years in a row? Like, the team that beat you, if a team beat you the year before, that's marked on your calendar. If they beat you in the playoffs, that's like, okay, we gotta fix this.
Absolutely.
I mean? Like, that should have been their game of the year, even more than the Eagles game to some extent. That, even though that's a bigger division rivalry and probably more meaningful as the playoff standings go. And honestly, the way they lost, too, with that Zeke snapping the ball.
All right.
Like, the Niners embarrassed them. The year before that, they had, like, the Dak play where they couldn't snap the ball in time. Like, they've gotten embarrassed on national TV twice in the playoffs by the Niners. And then just getting shellacked again, like, and not even seeming to care. Fred Warner is the man.
Yeah, man. He's so good.
Like, we were at our nephew's birthday party, and I was watching the game on my laptop, which my family is giving me crap for. But it's like, it's the Niners-Cowboys. I'm not watching, like, the Browns and Bengals game, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. They somehow didn't understand that distinction.
No, they didn't. But, like, I remember yelling across the room, it was like, Fred Warner just blew up a crossing route and then sacked Dak Prescott on the same play.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, yeah, there's so many good players on the 49ers.
It's crazy, because at BYU, Fred Warner was legitimately, I think, played as a safety. He's listed as an outside linebacker. But, you know, with so many spread offenses, there'd be a lot of times he's lined up on the, like, in man coverage, or at least in coverage on the slot receiver.
Yeah.
At BYU.
Right, because I'm sure that he was better than whoever our nickelback was.
The best athlete, yeah.
So,
now he's a middle linebacker. But that same, like, instinctive, like, safety type instincts. But he's just always there. He's insane. He's incredible.
Yeah. Phenomenal. So, yeah, always fun to see the Cowboys lose. So, 3-2 now?
3-2, yep.
Yeah, 3-2. So, yeah. Still think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, that was kind of, you know, one of the things in our NFL preview, that there's kind of a lack of playoff caliber teams this year in both conferences. So
it's crazy. I think the Niners and Eagles in the NFC are on tier one. The Lions, I think, are in a tier by themselves in tier two. And I love the Lions. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're looking really good.
But then tier three. So that's three teams just right there. So you got Dallas. Somebody has to win the NFC South. Tampa looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I think Atlanta's going to be better than they've played. New Orleans looks all right. I don't think they're getting multiple teams, though. I think they'll still be one team.
I agree.
Seattle will probably make the playoffs. I would put Seattle in the same tier as Dallas.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a compliment to Dallas.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think that's a much more realistic thing. And I know that's lower than everybody talks about, but you got to remember, every year, Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl. Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl. Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl.
Why did we think they were going to win the Super Bowl? Like, very smart people picked Dallas to win the Super Bowl. And the only change that I was aware of is that they got rid of Kellen Moore and replaced him with Mike McCarthy calling the plays. Yeah. If you don't like Kellen Moore, that's fine. It's better than Mike McCarthy.
Right.
Like, we've seen the Mike McCarthy thing, and it hasn't worked out great. Like, I know they won the Super Bowl in Green Bay the 1 year.
I mean, yeah, well, with Aaron Rodgers, 1 year was just going to happen on accident.
Yeah.
So
it's honestly sad they didn't win more than one.
Right.
With that. And, like, when they actually had receivers, too, like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and stuff.
Yeah.
And the defense was good with Clay Matthews. Only winning one is underachieving.
Absolutely.
And I think that's Mike McCarthy's fault. I truly don't know why we thought. Now, the Eagles question mark was they got a new play caller as well. But it's the same system. It's still under Nick Sirianni. Like, I think Brian, and you kind of see the Eagles growing into that a little bit. They haven't been dominant. You know, it has been dominant, though, is Jalen Carter.
Yeah, man. He looks really, really good.
Think of him at Georgia last year.
Going up against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, some poor, like, Middle Tennessee or whatever offensive guard having to block Jalen Carter.
Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah, he's really... I'm so thrilled that he fell. Looks awesome. And it's just so important to have a player like that when you know that Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox are both probably gone next year, you know, to just get young players into the defense like that, especially when you've just given your quarterback an absolutely enormous contract. It feels so great to get a player that good, and you know you're going to be paying him like that for 5 years.
Well, Florida, because the fifth-year option gets more expensive, but it's still a lot cheaper than
top
of the market.
Right.
You know what's crazy? So that was the ninth pick. That was where Carolina was originally slated to draft. So they could have drafted Jalen Carter, paired him with Brian Burns. Sucked this year, but you have legitimate young talent on defense. And then next year get a quarterback like Caleb Williams or Drake May, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, who... maybe you don't like him as much as Bryce Young. I think they have less concerns about height and weight, you know?
Yeah. But
the roster's not good enough to take advantage of a rookie quarterback. You can't just get one. You have to have a roster ready to compete, I believe.
Right. Well, no, I feel like you like Bryce Young more than most people probably do.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, in general, people have been less excited about him than they have been about number one picks in the past, and certainly less excited than for Caleb Williams. And I also probably think Drake May.
Drake May is awesome. Here's the thing. I actually didn't like Bryce Young that much at Matter Day or Modern Day.
Uh-huh.
Who's playing John Bosco this week. That's the best, definitely the best game in California. One of the best high school games in the country every year. 76 players in that game are going to have a D1 scholarship offer.
That's absolutely crazy.
Anyway, so I actually didn't love Bryce Young at Matter Day, but then I watched him at Alabama, and honestly, even last year, more than the year he won the Heisman, he was dragging that team. Like, Alabama was not that good last year.
Yeah.
The only reason they were in anything, like, most of his highlights were, like, drop balls.
Yeah.
Just because the receivers couldn't get separate, couldn't get open, and Bryce Young was just having to work miracles. If he was 6'2", and like 220, I would like him more than Drake May, but he's not.
Sure.
And I'm worried now that and the ability, like durability hasn't been the problem yet. I'm shocked he's playing like this. I thought he'd play a lot better even as a rookie. But I think with Drake May, he's like 6'5", you know, awesome pocket presence, rocket arm, really good athlete. Caleb Williams, you know, very unique. I think you kind of have to go with one of those guys. I would say I think Bryce Young is better than Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy as like an NFL prospect. But also, think how much better the Panthers would be if they had, instead of Bryce Young and no supporting cast, pairing Brian Burns with Jalen Carter. That's one of the top defensive lines in the league. And they already had some good guys there on top of Brian Burns.
Right.
They have a good young defense. So get that ready. Take a couple more shots at receiver. I didn't like – Jonathan Mingo wasn't the number one receiver at Ole Miss, so I don't know why we got excited about him to be the number one receiver at Carolina.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think they drafted – they're just – David Tepper's running it like a venture capitalist firm and not like a franchise. Like, he's like, oh, we need a quarterback. I'm sick of losing. Well, their roster's not ready. And now they're, like, trying to trade for a number one receiver. Like, you can't just, like, piece it together, like, make a deal. You know what I mean? There's, like, building that goes into this and cap room and roster management and all this stuff.
Yeah, it does seem – I mean, it's crazy that there seems to be a basic formula that works, you know. And some people like secondary. Some people like defensive linemen like Howie Roseman. But it just – it really just generally seemed to be get your roster ready, particularly the defense – Then go get your quarterback. And I don't understand why there's only 10 teams that follow that strategy, and then they don't need to because they're good, and so they don't need to go back and like suck for a few years.
Like, think of Detroit. Now, they love Jared Goff, and Jared Goff is playing great, but let's just say hypothetically next year they trade up, massive trade, go get Bo Nix. They are loaded with young talent. Offensive line's awesome. Defense is good. Can they get better? Absolutely. But think how well they're playing now and then they go get a guy on a rookie contract, they can even, because they're paying Jared Goff a lot of money. They're doing this with a crazy contract for Jared Goff.
Right.
If they go do, like, get a rookie contract, how much they can build the roster on top of what they're already doing. The 49ers, now they didn't try to draft Brock Purdy. Like, they just kind of lucked into that. But even if they had Trey Lance, they're paying Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, I think George Kittle, like all these guys top of the market value and money at very important positions because they're paying Brock Purdy $800,000 a year.
Yeah. And it does seem, and you know, that's another, I think people are upset when their team takes a quarterback in the fifth or the sixth round. And yeah, they're usually not going to end up being good, but the idea that you could get a Brock Purdy, like that makes it worth it every once in a while.
100%. It's also kind of crazy because, like, rookie quarterbacks as backups are a lot cheaper than, like, NFL quarter, like, backup, like, Andy Dalton-type players.
Right.
But when you, like, let's say Bryce Young, oh, that's a bad example because Carolina's terrible. Let's say Philadelphia. Yeah. Jalen Hurts gets hurt. You could have Gardner Minshew, but now they have, I think, Tanner McKee's a backup. Is he the third string? Do you know who the backup is?
I'm not 100% sure. Although I would think McKee's the backup since Minshew's gone.
Like, wouldn't, like, Gardner Minshew, like, he's not Jalen Hurts, but he played well.
Yeah.
And especially if Jalen Hurts misses like a month and you need to compete for games, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, these rookie quarterbacks, there's like no reps, there's no experience in the NFL at the backup position. And for some teams, that's going to be a massive problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marcus Mariota's the backup.
He's in Philadelphia?
Yeah. Which I knew, and then I just forgot.
Well, good. I'd rather have Gardner Minshew, but Marcus Mariota's better backup than Tanner McKee. Just because of the experience, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But also, like, last year, the Eagles signed, I'm blanking on his name, but he's a quarterback from Nevada, to the practice squad. This year they got Tanner McKee. I think he was a sixth-round pick. I think they drafted him.
Yeah, they did draft him.
Like, you got to reload at that position.
For sure.
100%. On the 1 out of 100 chance that, even if they're like an average quarterback, like, that helps so much.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, no, they're, yeah, love how the Eagles are doing it. Tanner McKee thing, I thought was smart and I was happy with it.
Even though he's like the exact opposite of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's not going to be able to do those things. But yeah, I mean, by the time you're getting to the third string quarterback, we're probably not going to win anyway, so.
Let's do the college picks, shall we?
Let's do the college picks.
Okay, so here's what we got. I hate Twitter. I had it open and then it went to like the homepage. It was like I had it open for a reason. Okay, last week was a bit unlucky, but we're feeling good this week. So first we got, speaking of Drake May, North Carolina -3.5 against Miami, who is coming off a season-ruining game against Georgia Tech. Have we talked about this?
No, we have not talked about it.
You saw what happened, though.
Yes.
So everyone knows, but just recap. Miami had the ball under 40, no timeouts, take a knee, the game's over. They run the play. Miami fumbles, Georgia Tech recovers. 76 yards later, Georgia Tech's in the end zone. They lose again. Literally could ruin their season, because if they lose tomorrow or Saturday, it's going to be tough to get back in the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
Also, just like emotionally, like, how do you come back from that?
I don't know.
Like, I think it's one thing if you lose and, like, you played hard and you lost to a really good team. Georgia Tech is terrible. Like, you played like garbage. You still could have won the game, but your coach blew it. And now you have to play the second best quarterback in the country and who's fired up. They got Tez Walker back. Like, what is Miami doing?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, two have had a game one. Well, and I saw a thing that, you know, he never kneels the ball when he's up by that much, for whatever reason. Like, this is his thing for some reason, is to just run it.
Here's the thing. I saw someone posted a clip from Oregon. They're like, oh, he did the same thing. And, like, the Oregon player did fumble and Stanford ended up winning. But there was, like, a minute 30 on the clock. Stanford had timeouts. Like, you need to run in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's under 40, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even if he does it every time, that's not an excuse.
No, it's like I was saying, he does it every time. Like, this is a bad thing.
Yeah. It's crazy because I actually, he's a really good coach, a really good recruiter, really good developer. Like, Miami is a very good team. Tyler Van Dyke's a legit quarterback. That just cost him the season, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you just gotta, you gotta think that he kneels next time he's in that position, right? Like, he has to have learned.
People are gonna lose their mind if he does, even if nothing bad happens.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, he definitely can't. So that'll be, I'm interested in watching Miami just for that.
I don't think he's gonna be in a position to kneel Saturday, though, because Carolina's gonna roll.
No, it will not be next week.
Okay, Maryland.
This week, I guess.
Minus 14 against Illinois. Illinois is the team I was most wrong on in the preseason. I like Luke Altmyer, their quarterback. I know they lost two defensive backs and a running back to the NFL draft, but they still had one of the best defensive tackles. You know, Brett Bielema seems to always find like an eight wins somewhere. Illinois is legitimately a bad football program. Maryland's good.
Yeah.
Tagovailoa. I know Jalen Milroe is playing well, but think if, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but Tagovailoa was still at Maryland or still at Alabama. How much better that program would be.
Yeah.
So I like Maryland there. Game of the year. I tweeted out before the season started the games I was most excited about. Oregon, Washington was number one. And that was before they both went undefeated and are in the top 10. Oregon plus three. So it's in Seattle, but Oregon, if they could win or lose by field goal, we're good there. Love Bo Nix, love the Oregon's offense, love Dan Lanning. Seattle, Washington's awesome too. So I'm nothing against Washington. I think Oregon can keep it close. I think Oregon was my preseason pick to win the Pac-12, so I just got to stick with my guts there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at USC right now, and because I feel like that was most people's pick to win the Pac-12. But now it's like, oh yeah, the winner of this game, it really puts himself in the driver's seat for the conference.
100%. 100%, especially because Utah has a loss and USC can't do anything. Like, they look bad
The
last 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, they've been just not been able to.
If they weren't USC, they wouldn't be a top 10 team.
Yeah, which is crazy because it just, like, I do feel like they've got the talent that they need to, which has never been. I mean, even when USC's been bad, like, they've still been able to get great, great recruits.
So, you know, Alex Grinch, the USC defensive coordinator who's been with Lincoln Riley like forever.
Yeah.
So I heard a story from when he was the defensive coordinator at Washington State with Mike Leach. So, you know, and you know how teams will have like play bands, like wristbands with like the plays on them. So I don't know how this happened, but like half the defense had a different wristband than the other half. So like they'd call like play number four or whatever. And then like one half of the defense would be running like cover three. And the other half would be running like a zone blitz or something like that. Like Mike Leach was like, how is this? Because they were playing Eastern Washington with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
So like, how is this guy so open? And then they figured it out at halftime. And apparently Leach was like furious and understandably so.
Sure. Yeah. Why would they even have two different wristbands?
I don't know.
Like that does. Like, why would you even make two? Like, why would you change it to cover two from like A to B on any given night?
I don't know. I think it's so, oh, it's hilarious.
That's really funny.
Anyway, so yeah, Oregon. Now, here's one that I don't really understand. So BYU plus six, TCU's a 6-point favorite at home, which I get. And historically, TCU has owned BYU.
Yes, they have.
Chandler Morris got hurt in that game that they lost to Iowa State. They looked not great in that Iowa State game, who I don't think is a very good team. Now, they still have some NFL talent, and I think more NFL talent than BYU has. But BYU played well at Kansas, beat Arkansas, who isn't great, but it's still at Arkansas.
Right.
You know, I think BYU's a tough team. Playing at home, you know, us Mormons get loud. There's nothing else to do in Provo.
We do, yeah.
I lied. It's in Texas, so scratch that. Oh. I still think BYU can keep it close, though. Within a touchdown?
I don't know, man.
I think they could win.
I've got some real trauma from those Mountain West days.
Yeah. I don't remember a team dominating one team consistently as much as TCU dominating BYU.
Really? And it wasn't just that they always won. It was just the way that they beat us. You know, BYU scoring 3 points a whole game, getting maybe two first downs a whole game.
You felt like it was over. 5 minutes after the first drive, you're like, oh, there's no chance we have of winning this game.
Right.
every year, too. It wasn't even like one time. It was every single year.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think TCU is still more talented. Although, yeah, I think, you know, if you're a person that believes in momentum, BYU's got it right now, and TCU does not. So.
Yeah, and again, I really like Chandler Morris, but he's hurt. So, and I don't know much about their backup. I thought he looked fine at best, but full week of reps could be a lot better. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, so BYU plus six. Last game, Michigan minus 33.5. I think I'd pick Michigan, like, if the line was, like, minus 45, I'd still probably pick them just because Indiana's that bad, and Michigan is that good,
I think.
The only reason they don't cover is if there's, like, a fluke fumble on the goal line twice or they just get uninterested because they're so much better.
Yeah, which I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think them not being interested is a lot more likely than the fumbles. That doesn't seem like they're going to happen too much, but...
That's the problem with Michigan and Georgia. And Georgia took it to Kentucky last week. But, like, they're so good and their schedules are so bad. Like, are they going to stay interested the entire time?
Uh-huh.
Or are they just going to be waiting until the Ohio State game or the SEC championship?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I certainly – well, the thing, it'll almost be hard to tell just because they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, they could not be interested in winning by 40 points every week.
That's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, we're complaining about Georgia, they're winning, like, 48-7. Like, the South Carolina, the Auburn game weren't like that, but Michigan is putting it on teams.
Yeah.
The Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State, those three games are going to be Penn State's giving up, like, 5.5 points a game.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy. Yeah, less than a touchdown, like a field goal sometimes. So sorry, I've been getting distracted because the Phillies game has started. Oh. So there's,
well, we're wrapping up, so that works great.
Yeah. No, but it's good. Yeah, no. But yeah, no, I would agree. I would also pick Michigan. Not totally understandable.
The powder blue. Phillies uniforms are awesome.
Phillies do have good uniforms.
The cream one with like the blue hat. I love that one.
Yeah.
The pinstripes look good, the red pinstripes.
Yeah, yeah, two really good hats. I think the red one's my favorite, but the maroon one is really nice. So, yeah, good uniforms.
Okay, we'll do the top five and let you watch the game then. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. Did we have more lines, or were those all the lines?
Those are the five.
Okay, great.
So I'll repeat them real quick, though. So North Carolina minus 3.5, Maryland minus 14, Oregon plus 3, BYU plus 6, Michigan minus 33.5. Going to get back to winning here. So these are my top five holidays.
Okay. I like it. Holidays. Interesting. This is a little bit off brand from what we usually do, but I like it.
Yeah. So number five is DC Ocho. Probably should have put it higher. If we were in Chile, it's in the top three. But in America, it's mostly just me and you cooking food for our friends who don't care.
Yeah. Which we have a lot of fun. But
yeah, DC Ocho is Chilean Independence Day for those at home.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving, I think we should eat Thanksgiving food more than we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I legit think it's really good.
I think you've got Thanksgiving low.
Well, three is Easter, which I love. Like, our mom will do, like, a scavenger hunt where we're running around, like, the whole neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Which I just think is fun.
It is a good time, yeah.
Two is Christmas. And then one is the day the Dodgers lose. So, last night.
Okay, well, there you go.
I was, like, did you hear me, like, calling people and stuff?
I did not. I was asleep at that point.
I literally was, like, calling people in my phone. Like, hey, Dodgers, like, just to celebrate the good news, you know?
Yeah. There was one point where I was starting to fall asleep, or maybe I was asleep, and then the TV came on really loud. I was like, why is the volume so loud? I was like, but now I understand. It must have just been a very important moment.
Yeah. It was great. I love when the – and it's like clockwork. Every year.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
So, yeah, that's good. I think, I think you got to have Thanksgiving higher, personally. I think, and I also think we maybe have a better Easter experience than most people do. Like, I think Easter should be more important, but the actual things that people do on Easter aren't particularly interesting for the most part. Because most people aren't doing most people aren't doing a big scavenger hunt like that.
They should do it with our family then.
They should, yeah. So if you want to hang out on Easter, have a good time. Come on over.
Most people would put the 4th of July in there, but I just had like 10 years in a row of like terrible things happening
on
the 4th of July. So.
Well, and I mean, not to go back to the DC Ocho, but once you've experienced that, which, and I think a lot of other countries are actually like that, particularly in South America. It's just a whole, really, it's a whole month-long festival. Everybody's having barbecues. There are fireworks, but there's also kites and dancing and food and everything. And it's like, man, we really just do one day of barbecuing, you know, low-quality hot dogs. And that's it.
I do like hot dogs, but you're right.
Yeah, so that's my controversial take, is that we, for as patriotic of a country as we are, we're not doing enough for our Independence Day.
Last fun fact, and then we'll go. So Austin Riley's batting for Atlanta right now. Do you know what other sport and what position he played in college?
Austin Riley.
Third baseman for the Braves.
Really sounds like a tight end name.
I think it's a good, especially considering his build, I think it's a good guess.
Yeah.
Do you know what college he went to?
I'm going to say Austin Riley. He's playing for the Braves, which doesn't really matter. But he also played baseball, so it's not somewhere. It's somewhere that's going to let him do both. Okay.
You're on the right track.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, yeah. So tight end is my first guess. Quarterback will be my number two guess for position. And as far as college, I'm going to say, I want to say Texas school. So let's go Texas Tech.
So Mississippi State.
You know, I thought Ole Miss first, and I was like, it's not Ole Miss, and I couldn't jump to Mississippi State.
He was a punter.
Oh, a punter.
His dad was like a punter in the NFL or something like that.
Huh, interesting.
So he'd be in the backyard like punting the ball back and forth.
That's funny.
Like the most athletic punter. So yeah, I think baseball is a good choice for Austin. That's Riley.
Crazy. Yeah, good for him.
It's crazy. The Braves are so good. It's crazy they're in this situation. We'll see what happens though. Awesome game ahead of us. Less exciting Broncos game coming up. Appreciate everybody listening. Really got to start saying this at the start of the show. But if you haven't subscribed, feel free to do so. 5 stars. Appreciate all that stuff. Leave a comment. That article that I've been talking about for months is finally up on the website. My favorite player from every school.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
MJDoubleTake.com. Check that out. We'll talk to you guys next week.